chapter 11. I want to link up with our brother Hines' message this morning, and I want you to think a little again about these three lovely characters, and especially I want us to consider Lazarus, and I will be remembering that there will be time for another brother before the first session is over. John chapter 11, please, and we are going to read verse 21 43. The Lord Jesus is praying, and now it says, "And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." Now chapter 12, please. Verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The Lord will bless what we have already listened to today, and he will bless also, we know, this public reading of his precious word. Thinking of these three lovely characters that we have in John chapter 11 and chapter 12, I want you to think that the three of them, as we would consider them in their individual exercise, it would sum up the believer's life as he would seek or she would seek to live and serve the Lord. In Mary, we have a picture of her in chapter 12, kneeling at the feet of Jesus. And there we have the thought of worship. And beloved, that's where all service for God commences. And then in Martha, we have Martha working for the pleasure of the Lord Jesus. She is at his side in service, it says, and Martha served. And then we have Lazarus. And I like to think that Lazarus witnessed to the power of the Lord Jesus, and he is sitting at the table with his Lord. There we have the thought of testimony. And so, it commences with worship, and then there is service, and then there is testimony. But I want you to think particularly of Lazarus just for a very few minutes this afternoon, and I want you to think, first of all, that here we have in chapter 11 a man who is dead. At the voice of the Lord Jesus, Lazarus comes forth out of the tomb. Someone has said that so powerful were the words of the Lord Jesus that if he had not said, "Lazarus, come forth," it has been said that the whole cemetery would have arisen at the power of his word. In any case, be that as it may, the Lord Jesus spoke the word of life and Lazarus come forth. Now we are told that he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face was bound about with a napkin. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus, don't you? He said to those around, he said, loose him and let him go. In other words, he had no ability to work. He had no ability to walk. He had no ability to speak. And the man needed to be loosed. And now as we come to chapter 12, the darkness of chapter 11 is dispelled and the sun is shining again. And I love to picture in my own mind that home at Bethany, where, as we have already suggested, we have Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus. We have Martha busy in her service for the Lord Jesus. And we have Lazarus as he sat and witnessed to the power of Jesus. I want you to think that in Lazarus we have, first of all, a portrait of the old life. He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. You know, I believe that in this audience today there are some, and you're not saved. And today, like Lazarus in the grave, the Word of God makes it so clear that you are dead in trespasses and in sin. And yet, thank God, and I trust tonight in the closing session of this meeting, this conference today, that the Word of Life will be sounded out. We're praying that some of you might hear the Word of Life and respond. Thank God the Word of Christ is a life-giving Word. And you, even this afternoon, could know liberation from death. And you could know the joy of a new life. We love to sing sometimes. We don't sing it so very often in this country. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. And so we have the portrait of an old life. But now as we come to chapter 12, we have the presence of a new life. We have Lazarus raised and loosed and seated. And as chapter 12 opens, I want you to think with me of that home in Bethany. I've never been to eastern lands, and I could bear correction here, but I understand in Bible times that eastern homes were largely open at the front. And people passing up and down the street, they could see into the home, especially into the living quarters. And I want you to come with me this afternoon, and I want you to look into the home yonder at Bethany. Yonder, sitting at the table with his Lord, is none other than Lazarus. He is pulsating with a new life. And I'm sure that those in that little town of Bethany, whatever their business was, they would find a detour to take them around by the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. The news had got around that Lazarus was raised from the dead. But I want you to notice something very, very suggestive. It says now Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. I understand that in Eastern days, in Bible times, the Eastern customs were that the host would sit at the head of the table. And so it should have been, and now Jesus was one of them that sat at the table with Lazarus. But no. And I try to use my imagination here. You have to be careful, I know. But I've tried to use my imagination, and I've imagined the Lord Jesus coming in and taking his place at Lazarus's right hand as the guest. And I pictured Lazarus saying, "Oh no, Lord, you take the place of the host." You see, my dear brother, my dear sister, at that home in Bethany, the Lord was made Lord of the table. He was made Lord of the whole situation. And could I say especially to those of you who are young in Christ today, you're only going to have success in your spiritual life when you put the Lord Jesus first and when you recognize Him as Lord. You remember, and I've often quoted the situation, you remember yonder Saul of Tarsus, right yonder on the Damascus road. You remember he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" But I like to stop halfway through. In fact, after the first two words, he said, "Lord, what?" Seems to me as though in our way of thinking today, that Paul would present a blank check to the Lord. He would sign it and say, "All right, Lord, you fill it in." That is what the Lord expects of you and I today. That our lives might be presented unreservedly to Him. And could I say to the young in Christ, this is the path to spiritual success. And so I see Lazarus sitting at the table with his Lord. The one who came as guest, he has become host. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then I want you to notice too, and again it is a suggestion, but I feel you'll agree with me. The grave clothes would have been gone, would have disappeared, wouldn't they? It would have been a dishonor to the person of the Lord Jesus for the grave clothes still to be in evidence. Here is a man. He's pulsating with new life. The evidence of the old life is gone. He's sitting at the table with his Lord. You remember the Colossian epistle in chapter 3, we have there the putting off of the old. Those things that would be displeasing to the Lord. Oh, let me exercise my heart, and may your heart be exercised, that we might seek to put off everything that would displease the Lord Jesus. And then there is the putting on, of course, after the putting off. Again, Colossians 3. There is the putting on, if you like, of the new man. And so Lazarus sat at the table with his Lord. Now I want you to notice something very suggestive. And I did not read it purposely, but I want to read it now. You don't need to turn to the portion again unless you want to. It says, verse 9, "Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, the Lord Jesus, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." Skipping verse 10 to verse 11. "Because that by reason of him," reason of Lazarus, "many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus." My brethren and sisters, as I close this assertion, searches my heart. Do I so live? Do I so act that others, seeing me, they will be attracted to the Lord Jesus instead. May the Lord grant that these things, these simple things, not much theology, but I trust things practical, may exercise our hearts and lead us out to a closer devotion to the person of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ.